Thank you, worship team. Thank you, guys, for that wonderful proclamation of the scripture during the opening worship time there. And thank you, all of you, for being here this morning. This morning, I want to talk about moving ahead in care and concern. And yes, it's another sermon in this series, Moving Ahead, where I've been saying that we don't want to just survive here in this pandemic. There have actually been a number of churches that already have closed. But we want to be a church that thrives under the headship and under the lordship of Jesus and through the moving of the Holy Spirit in and among us and through the Word of God being both received and proclaimed and received and lived out. Now, to guide our thinking about care and concern, let's open the Bible this morning to Romans chapter 12, verses 10 to 15. Now, in its context, before I read this passage, in its context, let me just note that the Apostle Paul was talking here about each individual in the local church doing their part. Each individual using their gifts so that together they might be the church. Each person making a difference. And he then talks about specific ways that we ought to be relating to each other in the church. So here we begin now with verse 10 in Romans chapter 12. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. It may have been, it may have been a couple decades ago already that there was a particular phrase that the Mennonite Church was putting out for congregations to consider, and you saw it popping up, whether it was on church signs or in bulletins or in brochures or whatever. And that particular phrase at that time was, our family can be your family. The thinking was at that time that not only that people need a place of belonging, but that the church, when functioning in a healthy manner, does become a family. It does become a spiritual family. Now, Bill and Gloria Gaither, in their song, The Family of God, actually captured that sentiment. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family, and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. So, what are some of the things noted in our text that are part of being this kind of church family? And I won't have time, I'm not going to try to look at every particular statement that was made in these verses, but there are four of them that I want to highlight this morning. What are some things that are needful to move ahead in care and concern? Well, first of all, there is the call to be kindly affectionate to one another. To be kindly affectionate to one another. The Christian Standard Bible puts the first part of verse 12 like this. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. How's that? Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Now, if we think of the church only as an organization or only as an association or only as an affiliation, then we have missed the point. We have missed the point. Followers of Jesus in a local church are a part of each other. And when we are adopted into the family of God, we become sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. That's actually stated, that's pointed out. The Apostle Paul wanted people to realize that in Romans chapter 8, we read this in verses 14 to 17, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together." Now, wouldn't you say that people that have the same father, that have the same father or brothers and sisters with each other, we are thus to love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. The church in Omaha, Nebraska, happened to be the context where I gave my life to the Lord and where I was baptized upon my confession of faith. Now, that church was fairly small. There were around 25 to 30, sometimes hitting 35, gathered on a Sunday morning. But you know what? Northside Mennonite Community Chapel was big when it came to being kindly affectionate to one another. You see, when it comes to showing care and concern, the issue is not how big is the building. The issue is not how large is the attendance. The issue is not what size is the budget. The issue is how big is the heart of those who happen to be part of that church fellowship. Thank you, Bill. Good to see you. Glad to hear you. So the folks at Northside Chapel had a big heart, and they reached out to me, and they welcomed me, and they included me. Some of them invited me over their home for a barbecue or a meal or to play games or whatever the case was, and they prayed for me, and they gave me opportunity in that small fellowship of believers to begin using my gifts. And so there was a reason why in the fall of 1976, when I was heading back to Ohio and I was heading down Interstate 80 east, that I had tears in my eyes. It's because I was leaving my family, my church family. They had become my spiritual family, my family so near, my family so dear. I had experienced people loving one another deeply. Now, the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue." He wasn't saying that it's not there, but he just said, let it continue. Jesus said this in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 5, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." And that's something, a distinguishing characteristic of believers. Do you and I show care and concern for one another? Do we love one another deeply? It's the outliving of this brotherly love that actually becomes attractive to people, if it in fact validates that we are who or what we claim to be when we say that we are Christians, that we are followers of the Christ. Secondly, in moving ahead with care and concern, there is the call to continue steadfastly in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. And that's explicitly stated here in our scripture, verse 12, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." Now, I have found over the years that sometimes people struggle and they are wondering, you know, what can I do to make a difference? They wonder how they can be of help since they don't have the expertise to cut down a big tree or to get a lawnmower back running again or to figure out how to install a new computer program. Perhaps they don't have the strength, perhaps they don't have the physical wherewithal to carry furniture or to clean out gutters or to do some other stuff, whatever the case might be. But you know what? No one needs to feel worthless in the family of God. Why? Because each person in a local church can pray for someone. They can stand in the gap. They can make an appeal to the Lord. Now, if you happen to have a Bible that has a cross reference, it may be wanting you to go to Luke chapter 18, verse 1, where it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Luke 18, 1, "Men ought always to pray and not lose heart." Now the MSG puts it like this: Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. Never quit. Now, what is the story or the parable Jesus was actually calling to their attention when he had said what he did, or what the scripture says here? Well, starting with verse 2, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Is there someone in the church family that has a need? Perhaps they have a physical need. Perhaps they're going through a difficult time. Perhaps they're struggling spiritually. Perhaps they're struggling with fears and concerns. Whatever the situation is, you and I can make a difference in their lives by lifting them up in prayer. Is there someone that has popped into your mind? Perhaps even as I've been preaching here, somebody may have popped into your mind, or it happens any old time. In the middle of the night, you are awake for a few minutes and somebody might pop into your mind or whatever. Well, it may just be, it probably is in fact, that the Spirit is prompting you to pray for that individual. And you may not know all the details or even know what some of the issues are, but nevertheless, you can lift them before the Lord. The Bible says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's out of James 5:16. So that a godly person, whether men or women, a boy or a girl, can do a great deal in helping other people by praying for them. Sometimes people have this crazy notion, you know, there's nothing they can do, so I guess I'll just have to pray for them. That's wrong thinking. When they can do much, in fact, by praying for them. Now, he's no longer living, and some of you never met him that are here today, but the late Dan Meininger was an individual that made a difference in my life. He would pray for me in the ministry I was engaged in, but not only that, he would periodically send me a card with a handwritten note of encouragement to let me know that he was praying. And for a number of years, I then would mail Dan, actually he wanted me to do it, but I would mail him a copy of the, uh, or a, a recording, I should say, of the Sunday sermon so that he could listen to it. And he felt thereby he was ministered to, and it was like it were an answer to his prayer. Because he had been praying for me, and then he heard me preach. So, be kindly affectionate to one another. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Thirdly, in moving ahead with care and concern, there's the call to distribute to the needs of the saints. That comes from verse 13 in our scripture here, distributing to the needs of the saints. Now, the NLT, the New Living Translation, puts it, when God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. Be the one to help them out. Now, over the years, when I've gotten requests for assistance from people in the community, I would typically ask a couple of questions. I mean, yes, getting acquainted and getting a feel for their specific need, but a couple of questions I would also ask had to do, one of them had to do with family. Is there family? Or where is your family? Or is your family at all able to help you in this situation? And often there is brokenness. There is brokenness of relationships. There is been heartache. And many times when there are families that are, when there are family members that are still living, they too may be dealing with setbacks and struggles and difficulties. Now, second question had to do with church affiliation or involvement. I'll likely explain our understanding of the scripture that we feel that if a family member is not able to help, then a person's church that they are a part of should be there to help them out. And if in the majority of cases, however, there is no church connection. There's no church connection, or hasn't been for a long time. And so then I will say, yes, I would be glad to take their request and to process that, and also invite them to make a connection with the Lord and to make a connection with our church. Now, what should be taking place within the church? Well, the needs of people ought to be met. Sometimes this is done by an actual ministry of the church. For example, the Apostle Paul instructed folks in the Corinthian church like this. So this is 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the church of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Now, in actuality, when you look at this and what was going on here in its context, you begin to realize that this collection was actually, it was not for the building fund. It was not for the, to help the priests or whatever. This was not an educational scholarship fund. This was not the library fund. This was not the Circle of Love fund here. This was to make sure that the practical needs of fellow believers were getting met. Now, a number of months ago, LMC established a pandemic sharing fund. It was put into place to help individuals and families and even churches that were in situations because of the pandemic that they had just major setbacks and difficulties and were struggling in light of that. Consequently, there were thousands of dollars that were donated to this fund and were distributed as people had need. And many people were blessed by being part of a fellowship of churches that took seriously the call to help meet needs. And through that, God being thanked and glorified. Now, sometimes the showing of care and concern takes place outside of structured church programs. It takes place when a godly individual recognizes a need and they do something about it. They don't do it for a tax advantage. They don't do it for recognition. They don't do it to make a quota or whatever. It's done because of the love of God. And the outpouring of love is put like this in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us not just love in word or in tongue. You know, in other words, not just paying lip service to something, but actually putting something behind that. And it's absolutely exciting when people spontaneously respond in care and concern. It's exciting when there is praise given to God because people's lives were touched through the generosity of a brother or sister in Christ. What does it mean to move ahead in care and concern? Well, a fourth thing, there is the call to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. We have that stated in verse 15. Now, think about yourself. Did you ever go through a really difficult time? Perhaps there was the death of a parent or a spouse or a close family member. Perhaps there were some other type of loss or tragedy. Perhaps you had a major health crisis. Perhaps you were really hurting for some other reason. But what did it feel like when someone wept with you, so to speak? It may not have been literal in that sense, but it may have been something quite simple, like just listening to your story. Perhaps they just showed up. Perhaps, and that was back in the day when we were able to do that without concern, perhaps it was just a hug. Or they had made a cherry pie and dropped it off. Or blueberry. Or perhaps they had picked some flowers from the backyard and had shared them. But my guess is that these simple gestures meant so much. And it was the recognition and the realization that somebody cared and they were showing their care and their concern. Simple little things, big impact. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. There should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, that reference to honoring somebody, I can't help but think of what took place here on September 27. When you honored me with the recognition of 25 years of service here at the church. And that is still encouraging me in that I haven't gotten to the bottom of the blessing box yet. I just want you to know, in spite of the big temptation you put before me, I have been opening one envelope each day. Okay? So we're not at the bottom of the box quite yet. And it's been a great blessing and an encouragement. This greeting cards are just wonderful by what they say in the card, but also the handwritten comments. So I'm saying simple things can have a big impact. And it can go both ways when you're weeping with somebody that weeps or whether you're rejoicing with somebody that is rejoicing. So there's encouragement in both of those regards. Now, we didn't touch on everything, and I said we were not going to, but we didn't touch on everything in this scripture passage that we read from Romans 12, 10 to 15. But it seems to me that these four things, when put into practice, really do show care and concern. They really do make a difference. What are those four? To be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. To continue steadfastly in prayer. To distribute to the needs of the saints. And to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And I know many of you do a great job in this regard. And I just want to affirm you, and I want to encourage you to continue showing care and concern. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the church that you have instituted, that you have designed for our benefit and for our blessing and for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, that you have gifted your people and you have called your people and that you have appointed your people to do some of these very things that we've read about today in your word. And Father, we pray that people, whether in the church or in the community, might continue to recognize the love of God and the care of your people as we move ahead. And that you would help us to be sensitive to your leading and responsive to your Spirit's work. So we praise you and we rejoice in you at how many of these things have taken place in days past. And we trust, Lord, that you will continue to be at work in the coming days. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.